LSU! Let's go! Get on my level! Our transfer portal domination has only begun! I am telling you right now, there's a guy that moved up to my number one transfer portal target. Watched a decent amount of him today. And look, we could talk all we want about defensive back. You could take a look at the poll question for yourself. Which position is a bigger position of need right now for LSU? Is it defensive back or is it offensive line? Well, I can make a very strong case that it could be defensive back. But for me, you've got to find a cornerstone offensive tackle. If you're so accustomed to having Will Campbell on one side and, of course, Emory Jones on the other, there's going to be a natural letdown at both offensive tackle positions unless you land a guy like Monroe Mills. This is a transfer from Louisville who's played at Oklahoma State, has played at Texas Tech, has played in a bunch of different offenses, over 2,300 career snaps, only allowed 4 sacks. And on top of that, advanced analytic and film analyst Clark Brooks says that there are only 3 offensive tackles, all of which will get drafted pretty high in next year's NFL draft. When you adjust for true pass sets, no screens, RPOs, quick outlets, only 3 Power 4 tackles turn in a better clean percentage than Monroe's 98% from this regular season. Are you freaking kidding me, LSU? We need to be all over this. We just do. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Are you with me? That offensive line is as big of a need as defensive back, because if you were to put together who your starting offensive line for LSU would be next year, obviously one of those starters is Braylon Moore. Another starter, of course, would be the other transfer you brought in, Josh Thompson, who was heavily pursued by Tennessee, and you're able to win a pretty intense recruiting battle. Are those your only 2 bona fide starters going into next season? I think LSU feels pretty good about Tyree Adams. I had a pretty good high school grade on Tyree Adams on my own personal evaluation. But outside of that, DJ Chester will be playing a new position next year. Is he a starter quality SEC offensive lineman? What about Paul Mbenga? Do you believe Paul Mbenga is a starter SEC level quality offensive lineman? The other 4 guys are gone. Your actual starters, the guys that actually were good last year, they're all gone. Miles Frazier, obviously Garrett Dellinger, and of course Will Campbell and Emory Jones. Here's the difference between offensive line and defensive back. You have 5 offensive linemen on the field at all times. There are no negotiation with that. Sometimes at defensive back, you have 4 DBs on the field. Sometimes you do have 5. But I do think that's a position you can disguise a little bit more than if you have offensive line deficiencies, especially with the quarterback who doesn't give you a whole lot in the run game. So Monroe Mills is there. Now, he will be the number one pursued transfer portal target for everyone. All right? Everybody is going to be after him. This guy is draftable. And by the way, offensive linemen, there's just not as many of them. There's just not. It's the exact opposite of when you go to the bar looking for somebody else to hook up with during the night. There's more big people than regular people. The opposite is true in the transfer portal. There's less big people, but plenty of fancy, skinny, athletic-looking wide receivers, DBs, and all of that. You need meat in the SEC. And I don't think we have enough meat. And speaking of meat, I want you guys to hold me accountable. I'm on the carnivore diet. I talked about this last night on Blake's show. I'm trying to get skinny. I'm trying to look thin. I'm 2 days into it, did a fast yesterday, and I nearly blew myself up. And then today, only ate meat. Only ate meat. Had a steak for dinner, had some chili for lunch, had some sandwich meat mixed in there. You guys got to hold me accountable. So I need you to see that this face is getting skinny and this belly is shedding off weight. I got to lose this weight, y'all.
I do.
I got to look like pressure. Let's go to Anthony. Everybody welcome Anthony to the channel.
Look at him. Looking fly. Backwards hat.
I think the center position is locked down by the transfer of Braylon Moore. Everybody welcome Anthony. James, LSU superfans with me. You guys are sickos wanting to talk LSU football. And I love it.
Whoever you are watching this right now live, if you're watching this down the road, this is the LSU football channel. And we're going to talk about LSU women's basketball. Hell yeah.
Flage and Anissa Moro, they're going to take us to some very special places. Shout out to you, Michaela Williams, former PHL guest.
Of course, we're going to talk some LSU baseball. I am always up front. I don't know as much about LSU baseball as my dear friend Blake Ruffino, but we're still going to talk about LSU baseball.
And, of course, we'll talk about all the other LSU sports, including Matt McMahon suffering a tough loss to Vanderbilt. And I hate Vanderbilt because they fired Jerry Stackhouse. And I'm a big Jerry Stackhouse fan. Shout out North Carolina. Shout out Petey Pablo.
Anyway, next thing.
I decided to start rewatching some of the Baylor game. And I would be very cautious. Okay? You've got to be very, very, very cautious with any bowl game. And the funny thing about it was Baylor didn't really have that many opt-outs. Now, were they missing some of their key guys? Sure. But they were definitely a team with more continuity. But I'll say it to them, blue in the face, I did not think Dave Aranda put forth a full game plan for this bowl game because he knows it's more important to recruit for the next season, and he knew he was walking into a buzzsaw. But it is something of note that Baylor, 4.5-point favorites, and LSU crushed them. The bottom line, though, is you did give up 445 passing yards. And we have to have a serious, capital S serious, conversation about this LSU secondary. I understand there are some super de-duper diehard Ashton Stamp fans that watch this. He's a Louisiana native. He's a three-star. He's the guy that we always root for. But y'all, the final month of the season was tough. And even if you think Mansoor Delane is a real deal, and even if you think Jackson coming in from Florida, Jakeem Jackson, a former Corey Raymond protege, even if you think he's a real deal, you still need a third corner. And I'm not talking about a nickel. I'm talking about just another corner. All right? Here's the harsh truth about the bowl game, is that we didn't have Sage Ryan and we didn't have Major Burns, and we always wondered, why did they continue to keep playing when they were that bad? When there were times where you felt the effort was lackadaisical, and there was times where we felt there was younger guys in the wings that we would like to try. Well, the reason why we kept them in there is that we didn't really have any better options, because a lot of our backup safeties that played in the bowl game had a tough go at it. Now, one thing where I will defend the LSU secondary having major issues versus Baylor's pass offense is that our pass rush wasn't as good in this game. It was a quiet game from guys that we had coming back for the bowl game that you would thought would have opted out. Brayden Swinson, and then, of course, a guy like Savion Jones. Now, they're both going to be really good pros. They'll probably both play in the NFL, if not the CFL, a very long time. But the truth is, we need a lot out of Patrick Payton, and we need a lot out of Jack Pyburn and the Nebraska transfer as well, who rushes primarily almost out of a three tech. I think he can rush as an end as well. I am very excited about all three of them. So there you go. Now, let's go to AC4LSU. Do you think Stamps could play safety? I do. But the mentality will need to change. All right. You do say he's a willing tackler. Tackling was an issue for him. It was. Now, the thing that's interesting to me about Ashton Stamps is, even though the last month of the season was really tough, the first part of the season wasn't as bad as the last few months.
his USC game was actually really good. So what happened? I don't know. Could be lack of confidence. You know, his first year, he was really banged up. But part of why I bring it up is when there is a player struggling, and we had a lot of players that were struggling, when you have that problem and you don't actually try new players, you are hurting not only the team, but the player himself. Because if you've ever played sports and you ever went on a slump, and each and every one of you have gone on a slump, the issue is your confidence can go down. You know when you're slumping. You know when you're struggling. But we didn't try anybody else new, which is why on Patreon, we did a data deep dive. This is part of the fancy smancy data from our, had it upside down. Okay. Some it's written, some it's film. I really do think the 2024 LSU Tigers was the least talented team we put on the field. And I felt that's why we had a down year. PFF grades back it up. Some advanced analytics back it up. We talk all about it in our PHL Patreon deep dive. It is very detailed. Ask anyone that's watched it. It is all part of your subscription. And everybody that signs up for the PHL Patreon, you get access to our private Discord, get access to all my game grades, extra breakdowns. And on top of that, you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. And if you go sign up tonight, I'm getting your first, I will cover your first month on Patreon. Okay? Let's go to Bobby. He says, it wasn't them, it was the coaching. Bobby, holding it down. Arkansas Tigers, I love to see it. Bobby says it was a coaching issue. And part of that might be true. Part of that might be true. Okay. But I don't think it was as much that. And I will also be honest. I do think there were some on the staff that felt this way going into the season. All right. We were behind. And that's why Brian Kelly put foot to the gas on the transfer portal. And I think that's part of the reason why Brian Kelly is saying, look, let's mostly run it back with all our coaches. We did not put forth the best team we could put forth. All right? And look, you guys know, I'm not afraid to be critical of the LSU coaching staff. But I've been defensive of them. And part of this, and a lot of this is on Brian Kelly, let's be honest. The roster just wasn't where it needed to be. And, you know, I've been consistent with that. You know, before the season began, I said, hey, this is probably an 8-4-ish, 9-3-ish roster, and that's about where we were. And honestly, I don't even know if we were that when you take a look at some of the results that we had that went in our favor, okay? And a big reason why is because of our secondary. And look, I think part of it are the football gods. If you believe, how many of you believe in the football gods? I believe there are some football gods that do exist. I think they are cruel. They said, look, you had Patrick Peterson, you had Tyrann Mathieu, you had Brandon Taylor, you had Eric Reed, you had all these guys, you know, year after year after year. Jamal Adams, we are going to punish you for all those years of elite secondaries. And it's a problem. It's a main problem that a lot of our DBs have just not turned into what they needed to turn into. And look, there's been some bad luck. You know, Greg Brooks was very good. There's nothing you could do about what happened to him. And one thing that I keep bringing up about the secondary, and I think it's very important, we have been bailed out so much by the COVID year and the transfer portal. All right. Think about this. You know, a guy that was really good for us in his only year was Joe Fouché. Now, he had some problems early in the season that forced a 4-game suspension, but when he played, he was good. That was a year 6 transfer. And then what happened after that? Well, Andre Sam came in and saved us. He was a year 7 guy. All right, what about this secondary last year? Well, think about it. The portal. Our best player was a Southeastern transfer. We have got to rebuild the secondary and find the guys that want to bring DBU back to dominance. I know that there are DBs that are frustrated with what they've seen that have played at LSU, and it's not all the elite ones. You know, it's not only the elite ones. You know, if you were to really put out a reference here, and it's something else, you know, I brought up in the offseason, I'm not looking for Jamal Adams. I am looking for John Battles. And I might be the only LSU YouTuber that will ever exist that brings up John Battle all the time. But that's all I need at this point. I just want John Battle. Okay? Not all of us can have Caleb Downs. Okay? Not all of us can have Andrew Mukuba, even though we could have had him. Wink, wink, nod, nod. But just give me John Battles. And say hi to the Golden Boot. Okay? Now, since so many of you have trickled in, we said a Jared. I think LA Mom's in here. She said it doesn't get any harder to lose the weight as you get older. Y'all, I'm going to be looking like Patrick Peterson here in 3 months. I guarantee it. I promise you. Next time PP7 season to be in person, he's going to be like, damn, dude. Why are you looking better than me? I'm just going to warn you guys, Dan. And look at all the successful YouTubers. They're good looking. They're fit. Okay? 9 out of every 10 of them are good looking. I've got to look better. I do. There you go. Pressure. Find me a Craig Steltz. Exactly. Now, I will say Craig Steltz was definitely on a different level than John Battle. I don't know. Yeah, he was definitely on a different level. But yes, I will definitely take a Craig Steltz for sure. I do want to bring up one key note about the portal. So someone mentioned, you know, Keontae Scott. I'm really excited about the potential of bringing him in. He had a down year. You know, in prior seasons, he was actually good. PFF grading back set up. You know, there's some Auburn fans frustrated overall with the team. But, you know, if you're good early in your career, it's part of the reason why I like Berrien Brown so much. Y'all, it is so rare to dominate as a true freshman and just fall off. Y'all, it's hard to do that. Because the hardest thing to do as a college football player is dominate early. All right, that's why NFL teams look at something called an early breakout. These people that spend thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing dynasty fantasy football, one of the first metrics they look at is early breakout. So Keontae Scott was a good player early in his career. I would love to have him be a part of our LSU secondary. A lot of SEC experience. You love to see it. Now, I do have some sad news. All right. The January 11th PHL get-together in Shreveport has been canceled. There is no PHL get-together this Saturday. Okay? I'm sorry about that. It's out of my control. I kind of want to go to Shreveport and just do one anyway. There's some inclement weather, ice, snow, all that good stuff. And this event, I know a lot of you look forward to it. We will not be doing it, okay? And I do that right when Andy super chats. I swear, I didn't even see it until this. So it is canceled. Now, this is not going to be the final one. All right, this is not going to be the final one. All right? But I'm not going to, you know, poo-poo on anyone because they have been very good to me. I've been very good to them. And trust me, when I got the phone call today that they were canceling it, they were crushed because we normally have a pretty big PHL get-together. Now, Andy, here's what I'm going to do. Since you couldn't make it and you did super chat, I know it just sucks. You super chat. Tyler comes to this event a lot. I think this photo was actually taken at the event. Because, you know what, this would be the fifth one we've done with the Harcliffe Tex Memorabilia Card Show. You know, there's normally like a pretty big athlete that comes to autograph stuff. We've had Patrick Queen there. We have Michaela Williams there. That's what we do, those in-person interviews. And it just makes a lot of sense for everybody involved. Andy, because you were going, I had a bunch of cards that I was going to give to any kids that were going. So, Andy, I got your cards for the next one. All right. Now, when is the next one? Well, according to them, the next one will be in May. All right. So that's when we will do the next one. I'm really, really, really sorry. And I feel even worse that the super chat came in right when it came in. But I'm sorry. Andy hadn't even commented then. He was so freaking excited. I freaking love it too. It is literally my favorite thing to do in the world. It literally is my favorite thing. All right. Now, before we go to the next topic, please keep my father-in-law in your prayers. All right. He's currently at MD Anderson fighting the evil sea. And I, once again, for live stream schedules, a lot of things can change. I could be traveling back and forth to Houston. I've got everything taken care of for now. But there's a lot of moving parts. So be flexible with our schedule. Okay. Charles wants to talk about Harry Coleman versus the Buckeyes in the BCS championship game. Yeah, you know what's funny? We never even talk about Harry Coleman. Like, we never do. And he is, like, exactly what you want out of, like, a living legend, right? He's kind of this Kirk Gibson type of LSU athlete, but he didn't have that major, like, Kirk Gibson home run for the Dodgers moment. But Harry Coleman played his absolute best football in the BCS National Championship game and the games leading up to it. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Kerry Vincent. So there you go. I love a good Harry Coleman reference. These are the kinds of people that I need in my chat. I really appreciate that. Okay. Now, there's y'all, this is my girl right here, Tiffany, and the whole crew. Okay. Tiffany is one of my favorite DJ clients. I DJed her birthday party. It was a great time, Squire Creek. And I DJed her lovely son's wedding. Might have another one coming up. But Tiffany, I won't expose who you cheer for, though. You can kind of see in the background there. We are very happy to welcome in fans of all SEC teams. But Tiffany, thank you so much. And Epic Shorty says he's got a book to put all his football cards in. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the team's overall outlook for next year. You know, I look at LSU's 2025 schedule, no back-to-back road games, which is huge. All right. Look, you can take the Texas A&M game and break it down in so many different ways and levels and all of that. But the simple truth is when you, and I hate these stupid hand signals, put up the thing, whatever. One thing I feel whenever I watch LSU, I actually lost my train of thought. But honestly, when you pick apart the schedule, it's about the schedule. When you don't play back-to-back road games, it's so huge, all right? So we'll pull up a 2025 schedule. I'm not going to do the basic win-loss thing, but I do want to go through this just to show that, once again, for the second consecutive year, I feel LSU's schedule is somewhat favorable. Now, this schedule is going to be harder than last year's schedule because Clemson's going to be a better team than USC was, and we have to go play them in their building, all right? But you take a look at it, Clemson, road game. Then you follow that up with Louisiana Tech. Then you follow that up with Florida at home. Then you follow that up with Southeastern Louisiana, all right? Then you have to go to Ole Miss. They're going to be really good. South Carolina is going to be really good, all right? But these are not back-to-back road games, all right? And you're going to have a bye week before the South Carolina game. So these two teams are going to be really good next year. Both of these teams are good in the trenches. Both of these teams are well-coached. Both of these teams will have mobility at the quarterback position. But there is a bye week mixed in there. Then you have to go to Vanderbilt. Then you have to welcome Texas A&M. So no back-to-back top 15 recruiters and no back-to-back road games. Then you have Alabama after a bye week. So you get a week to rest up. And then you go to Arkansas. Arkansas comes to you. Western Kentucky. And then you have to go to Norman. Now, the only thing about going to Norman, Oklahoma, that's going to be difficult is that it's going to be cold. And there's nothing for us to really replicate that here. But once again, we call it schedule breaks. You don't have to play Tennessee. You don't have to play Texas. You don't have to play Georgia. Auburn's going to have a massive amount of talent. Now, do we have to play better versions of the teams that we played this year? Yeah. Florida's going to be better, I feel, as a team next year. South Carolina very much will be better. Now, they do have to replace their OC. But things do set up for us, okay? They do. And you shouldn't, under any circumstance, feel like this schedule is something that's insurmountable. Okay? Now, the only thing that concerns me is the opener. Because it does matter. It just does. We've got to beat Clemson. It's not a must win game. But I feel like it's a bigger for us win game than the USC game was last year because I feel the schedule is easier. Okay? So it's a problem. Now, coming up, we will break down a few of the transfers that have come in, but I will also share a few year one true freshman contributors that I think can help LSU next season. But first, book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Dental health is wealth, and our friends at Sequoia Dental are looking to help you feel like a more confident person. Dr. William Wilson and his team of experts do everything in their power to make this experience for you not only comfortable, but fun. Yes, take a look at this after and before photo. That guy definitely got himself a date thanks to Sequoia Dental. From teeth whitening to cosmetic surgery to guess what? Botox. Yes, they do Botox. Call my friend Dr. William Wilson today, or just go book your appointment at sequoiadental.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go. All righty, a special shout out to my friends. You saw her in here a minute ago, Tiffany Baldwin and Baldwin Jewelers. Check them out in downtown Ruston. I freaking love their inventory. I went there, roughly a few months ago? And, man, they treat you with a smile. And guess what? It's not all like the bling, like chains that you see players walk in. Now, they could do that. But they've got some great stuff. $50 and under. Make the wife smile. Check them out. Baldwin Jewelers in North Louisiana. Worth the drive. Let's go. Now, DJ Pickett. It's definitely going to be the guy that's going to have the most pressure to help LSU out right away. All right. Now, obviously, Kerryus Kern, friend of the channel, Harlan Berry's being talked about quite a bit. One player to keep an eye out for is Charles Ross. We've not spent a whole lot of time talking about him. And what makes him very, very, very interesting is this happens almost every cycle. A kind of quiet guy commits very early in the process, and you just kind of lose a buzz, right? Because there wasn't any drama. You just committed, and he's kind of locked in. So Charles Ross is very, very interesting. Jaden Breaker was a guy that's moved up the rankings. And as you move down here, Aiden Anding is another guy. It's very, very, very fascinating. But as many of you know, there is all kinds of playing time open. Keelan Moses, J.D. LaFleur has some playing time that's available. Jared, thank you for the super. I appreciate it. Venmo, Cash App, at Carter the Power goes a long way. And then we get down here. Jakeem Jackson, Berrien Brown, Destin Hill made it official tonight. LSU is finally able to tweet that the paperwork is in. Dick Anderson, Sidier Mitchell, Patrick Payton, Michael Van Buren. And as you can see, it goes on and on and on. Now, who on these list of newcomers am I most excited about? Well, taking my bias out of it, I'm cheering for Kerryus Kern. Obviously, I've gotten to know a little bit about him. Obviously, DJ Pickett, Harlan Berry, the elites. But I'm going to go back to the guy who I hope stays more than one season at LSU, and his name is Brandon Brown. All right. 3-star, 6'2", 290. Now, why do I like Brandon Brown? One thing I got from watching Brandon Brown is violence. I don't care that you can't touch a DB or a receiver over the middle anymore without getting flagged. I don't care that if you land on the quarterback the wrong way, they'll call you for unnecessary roughness. I don't give a damn. Football is still violent. It's my soul versus yours. It's me putting food on the plate for my family versus yours. And if I could beat your ass more than you beat mine, guess what? I'll feed my family for decades. Brandon Brown is violent. And I'm not saying Sidier Mitchell and the other defensive linemen are not violent. I'm just saying, when I watch Brandon Brown play, there is a bit of an edge to him. There is a bit of, I am doing this and playing every snap as if it is my last on this planet Earth. There's a hunger that I see. There's a level of athleticism that I see. You know, one thing that really stands out to me is when I see you as a defensive lineman do stuff that you're not supposed to do as a defensive lineman. Brandon Brown, as a true freshman, was a fullback. He had a 50-yard touchdown run. How many defensive tackles do that? Now, I understand, 3-star prospect, also from the state of Florida. Also, you know, Florida competition could get weird. His level of competition wasn't the absolute highest. He's also only 290 pounds, so it might not be this year. Okay, but the best defensive tackle I feel that has ever been coached by Bo Davis was a guy that was just drafted last year. His name was Byron Murphy. And Byron Murphy was just like Brandon Brown. 3-ish, 4-star level player, 6'2", 290-ish. Now, the difference is, I believe, he played at a higher level of competition at DeSoto High School in Texas, which obviously you're going up against Duncanville and all the Texas powerhouses. And he was freaking, his tape is just stupid. But Brandon Brown's tape is stupid. I felt watching him, he was one of the better players in this class. That is not what the recruiting ranking said. All right. Now, why should you listen to me? Well, we're all kind of guessing. But who told you Whit Weeks had a chance to be the best player in this class, in the class that he was out of. I did. Ask anyone. I did more Patreon high school breakdowns on Whit Weeks than anyone else. That's how blown away I was with this tape. Like, his high school tape, in terms of excitement, Whit Weeks' high school tape was the most exciting thing I'd seen since Leonard Fournette. That's how much crazy stuff he did in high school. All right? Brandon Brown has some of those kinds of plays. All right? Now, once again, I don't think he's as good as Whit Weeks. It's kind of hard to be as good as Whit Weeks. He's going to play in the NFL for a very long time and one of the best players on our defense for two consecutive seasons. And it's going to be a very competitive defensive tackle room. All right? It's probably the deepest position in terms of numbers. We return two true freshmen that played a lot. We return an experienced guy in Jacobian Guillory. And there's five newcomers. Okay. Just telling you. Damian Shanklin. I like Damian Shanklin. Met him at the spring game. Damon, let's talk about Chad Jones. I'm always down to talk about Chad Jones. Appreciate you, Charles. All love to you and the little doggo. Yeah, Lenore Sellers is back, and he is going to be there with the vengeance. I think Lenore Sellers has a low-key chance to be the first quarterback in the next NFL draft class. Even over Arch, man, the dude is a freak. Now, here's what I need from you. And we'll dive a little bit deeper into this tomorrow. Who do you believe is winning this weekend? I say this weekend. This Thursday and Friday. Notre Dame, Penn State versus Ohio State and Texas. As of right now, I'm going against my good friend Blake Ruffino. I have Notre Dame, and I have Texas. He thinks it's going to be an all-Big Ten final. All right. Now, you can go see my Super Bowl prediction. Obviously, I do a lot of NFL stuff. I am predicting, and I have a mostly male audience. That's what the analytics tell me. I think this Super Bowl is going to be the Blue Balls Super Bowl. Now, if you're a male, unless your name is Leonardo DiCaprio, you have had Azul Balls before. This will be the Blue Balls Super Bowl. Go to Power Hour NFL. I'll post a link in just here in just a second. Two teams that desperately need to be in the big game will hopefully make it this year. Okay? That is my dream Super Bowl matchup. See the full breakdown, Power Hour NFL. And I better not see the Kansas City Chiefs get there. And I do more Chiefs videos now on Power Hour NFL than any of them. I'm starting to like the Chiefs, Chiefs Kingdom, because, you know, they're putting food on my table. Also, you see in the bottom right corner, I never do this right, right here. I still think Jaden Daniels should be the NFL MVP. That Commanders roster is dookie water. And Jaden Daniels is making it look good. Literally. How many elite players is Jaden Daniels playing with right now? Not many. There might be zero good players on the Commanders' defense, and there's not. Chin's good. Obviously, Luvu was a steal from the Panthers, and they got some good players. But if I were to rank the rosters, overall rosters, take quarterbacks out of it, Commanders might be last. I think Jaden's going to go on a run, though. I really do think so. Jaden will beat Baker Mayfield. And then Jaden, if he wins that game, you will more than likely have to play the Lions. Unless, of course, the Packers play the Eagles. No, DRC, we are not settled for Rookie of the Year. We are going for the MVP year one. I'm going for the whole damn thing. I don't give a damn. Anthony says Notre Dame versus Ohio State. I love the Facebook audience is here tonight. Let's go, Facebook.com. Ohio State and Notre Dame. Ohio State wins the Natty. They are definitely the best team. LSU Tigers men. I'll pull up the game right now. I didn't want to adjust too much. Whoa. I pull up ESPN.com. Pelicans losing again. Oh, God. Please come back and win. Is Zion playing tonight? I think Zion's playing tonight. But I see Tennessee lost by 30 tonight. Tennessee. Oh, we're getting beat by Dennis Gates. What the hell? Oh, Steve Spurrier was there. That was why. Dex, what's good? Scott, you're spot on regarding our talent level not being where it needed. We were lucky to win 9 games. Yeah, I mean, look, sign up for Patreon. You can see it all for yourself. Harsh truths about the team. Okay, now, we will take the next few questions, next 5 to 10 minutes. I do want to tune in and lock in. And watch the second half of this LSU men's basketball game. Dude, I think SEC basketball might have more parity than even football this year with the portal. I mean, there's so many good basketball players and coaches. William, I appreciate you, man. You're one of my BFFs, man. I kind of want to go to the Clemson game because Jared, William, Stan, a lot of our PHL legends are going. And Williams says, Carolina barbecue is better than Texas barbecue. I don't know about that. Missouri winning 42-27 at the half. All right. Evan, you can rewind to the beginning. And you can learn about Mr. Monroe Mills. So, we'll talk a little bit about LSU men's basketball. They could come back and win this game, all right? Now, obviously, Rick Barnes, you can make a case, is the best coach in the SEC. His team lost by 30 to Florida tonight. So, this league is going to fluctuate. Kentucky's a top 10 team. They're getting it taken to him by Georgia right now. He's not a basketball school. All right. Anthony Edwards is not walking through that door. With all of that said, the thing that I'm looking for with Matt McMahon, and I will say there are people at LSU that still love him. All right. And there's a lot to like about him. One thing that they like about him is he's easy to deal with. All right. They know that there's not going to be any big scandal or anything stupid said, anything political or whatever, all right? They like that. The issue I have with Matt McMahon, though, is a lot of his games that he coaches are just so random. I mean, I understand college basketball. My good friend Pinto, who is well-versed in college basketball, has a huge following on Twitter. He always brings up that college basketball is a game of runs. And it makes sense, right? There's a lot of 10-0 runs, whatever. The issue with Matt McMahon, though, is that there are huge gaps in every single game that he coaches that makes absolutely no sense, right? There were so many games last year where LSU basketball would be down by 20, and then it would end up being a one-possession game at the end. And it's like, well, why does it take so long to turn it on? And then, you know, they would be winning by a lot. I remember they were playing this Missouri team. Missouri was the worst team in the SEC. It was a home game last year, and they were up by like 25, and ended up being like a 4 or 5 point game. Okay? It's a problem. It's a problem. You want to talk about I'm not even going to pronounce his name. Are you talking about Anthony, the Washington State offensive tackle? Yeah, I think LSU needs to get an offensive tackle in the portal. I think they are currently pursuing that. I like Monroe Mills a lot, though. I do. Bring Will Wade back. It's not going to happen under this regime. Okay. Let's see here. Kirk Herbstreit admits that he has deleted Twitter a long time ago. I don't know. I don't think I have ever seen this. Do people really hate Kirk Herbstreit now? Oh, I want you to give me your honest opinion. Do you hate Kirk Herbstreit? Like, this is the crux of the Kirk Herbstreit argument. So he kept bringing up that Indiana wasn't one of the 12 best teams, which I agree with. But he never actually said who he would replace Indiana with. And everyone is just assuming that he was saying Alabama. Okay? Now, if Herbstreit was a fan of Power Hour LSU, I would have told every single person that would listen to me that Ole Miss was the best team in the SEC this year. And if you actually want to do eye test, it was pretty clear that they were the best team in the SEC this year. They just choked all three of the close games that they actually played. All right. To me, I thought it was pretty clear. I think if Ole Miss and Texas played now, Ole Miss would win. But I don't think that there's anything that Kirk Herbstreit has done this year. And it's been a tough year for him losing his dog, obviously. And I'm a big dog guy, as many of you know. I know some of you are tired of the dog story. But what I would say, and please correct me if I'm wrong. The thing that's going to be tough for me is a Florida State debacle. All right? And I'm just not a Florida State guy. I've developed a lot of really strong friendships and people in coaching and all of that. Who I still talk to today. James Robinson, as many of you know, has been a frequent guest on here. He was the one that got Peter Warrick on this channel for a minute, which was cool. Now, if you're a diehard college football fan, you know who Peter Warrick is. He was Jamar Chase before Jamar Chase. You know, he and I still talk quite a bit. I still talk to, you know, some Florida State buddies. I don't know if they're ever going to get over that, especially with the year that they just had. Who cares if their backup quarterback couldn't hit the broadside of the barn? What they did to that team is incomprehensible. I am not for sure with their backup quarterback if they would have lost to Michigan. I don't know. Like, their defensive line was like an all-time great defensive line. You know, one of them made the Pro Bowl this year.
DRC says the new dog is now over the top and unnecessary. J-Dub, what's good, man? It's been a fun live stream tonight. I'm a very blessed individual. I'm going to take a few more here. You want to know something crazy? Because I know some of you don't watch the NFL at all. So, you know, I've said for the last week or so how distraught I was at Brian Thomas Jr., who's top five this year in the NFL in receiving yards, mind you. Period. Not rookies, the entire NFL receiving yards. He got robbed. They put Zay Flowers in the Pro Bowl, and they put freaking Jerry freaking Judy. Jerry Judy. Does anyone that actually watches football think that Jerry Judy is better than Brian Thomas Jr.? Trey, thank you for the super. Not a damn soul. Not a damn soul would take Jerry Judy. Epic Shorty coming in hot. Not a damn soul. But don't shoot the messenger, because it's going to take a lot for me to get over what this guy did at LSU in his final stanza with the Tigers. But Kayshon Boutte kind of became good this year. I'm not going to say kind of. He actually was very good this year. Okay? I'll repeat that again. Kayshon Boutte is a really good NFL receiver. Now, does that mean we forgive him for, you know, betting on sports in our own building, which wasn't a good look at all? That's up to you. But he was really good. The film was really good. Okay? It's not a little much.
Go watch.
They did good things. Okay, New England. KB9, dude. Ankle is fully healed. Okay. Herbie is okay. But Gary Danielson. Gary's actually someone I got to know a little bit. We're pro Gary here. He's not our problem anymore. I also feel really bad that Andy super chatted here. And right when he super chatted was when I announced that they canceled the show. Trust me, if it was, I wouldn't have canceled it. Is Kayshon a top 30 wide receiver? No, I mean, I wouldn't say he's top 20. But 30, I can have a conversation at 30. But no, I would definitely say he's not top 20. Hmm.
Tell him. Yeah, DRC, it's kind of the issue right now because is there a coach that is a tight ends coach that can also serve as a special teams coach? What I would say, though, about that is LSU special teams has been a coaching collaborative effort. So while Slayton Nagel was overall decent overseeing special teams, there were a lot of forces that help make special teams, where at other programs there is just a special teams coordinator. Let's go to LA Mom. Do I feel that Alabama will be more of a threat if Ryan Grubb joins DeBoer now? Yes. I do fear that. I also took a lot of heat for what I said about Milroe before the season. A lot of hate mail from Alabama fans. And on Power Hour SEC, I released a deep dive that predicted Jalen Milroe's downfall. And the funny thing about it was I didn't ever say in the deep dive that he was going to be terrible. He definitely wasn't terrible this year for Alabama. I just said that there was going to be issues. And there's never been anything that I've released on any channel that turned out to be more right than that. And it wasn't a hate Alabama thing. So part of what scares me isn't just Ryan Grubb coming in. It's a non-rigid quarterback running their system that concerns me, with Ryan Williams and those really good skill guys still there. So, you know, that's what concerns me. Now, I know what a lot of you are saying. Well, us at LSU, we got our asses kicked by them anyway. Okay. Let's go back to what we talked about at the beginning. We didn't have the talent. We were not a good defense. Okay. But I think Ryan Grubb shouldered a little too much of the blame in Seattle. That offensive line was a mess going into the season. And DK Metcalf's an issue. He's tough to work with. And that's not anti-Ole Miss sentiment at all. It's just anyone that follows the NFL knows that. So, yeah, Seattle's going to be a sexy OC destination, though. Geno, I think, is a solid NFL quarterback, and JSN's, like, good. Like, he's actually turned the corner here in year two, but he's not an LSU receiver. That's a problem. No. Mm-mm. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. Appreciate the Facebook numbers tonight. They weren't cataclysmic. Actually, that's not the right word for that. They weren't fantastic, but I'm trying to grow on the book. Mark Zuckerberg said more free speech on Meta today. I saw him, and I was like, okay, Zuck, I'm with that. So show me some love, Zuck. What the Zuck? What the Zuck is up, bro? It is! Power out. LSU. Boom! Literally, he did not comment after this. This is bothering me that that right when he announced, once again, the card show for Saturday is canceled. The PHL get together. via Venmo, Jared, LA Mom, William, Epic Shorty. I appreciate you guys so freaking much. And tonight, we are doing, we're on the carnivore diet, so we're doing steaks. Let's go. As always, Ryan, YNWA. Let's go.